Extra time.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. This, with me, Henry Hill, but this week joined by Doogie Critchley and Sam Obaseki. Doogie, how are you, my friend? Good to have you back on the podcast.
I'm good. I'm all good. Yeah. I'm excited about this podcast. A bit of England lowdown because, the 33-man squad was announced yesterday and we will be dissecting it. Very excited.
Yes, Sam, I think you and I are going to butt heads a little bit today. I think I've already told you. I'm coming for some of your opinions.
You was just giving too much smoke in the group chat, to be honest. I don't know where that came from, but I'm ready for everything that you've got to throw at me in it.
Oh, get those Chelsea players out. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking forward to it. So as we've all seen, Gareth Southgate has played a very conservative move. He's announced a 33-man squad. With the, you know, taking into fact that we've still got a couple of European competitions to play, which obviously the English players are involved in. So he wants to keep his cards close to his chest, which means there are lots of stories and questions still unanswered about this England selection. But don't worry, us three will get to the bottom of it. So let's start off by having a look at the players that missed out. Goalkeeper, I don't think it matters too much. I mean, I personally am pretty... I feel really bad for Nick Pope. Such unfortunate timing with that injury. I think it was really, you know... It was pretty much sewn up for him there. And now, as a result of this, Southgate's been have to force into this Aaron Ramsdale versus Sam Johnston situation. But we'll get onto that in a bit. Fullback-wise, in the defensive area, Doogie, is there anyone that immediately screams out at you as a player that's missed out?
Not particularly. I think left-back was kind of quite well covered with Chilwell. Sure, obviously Saka can play there as well. I saw some chat about Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but we've got four right backs in the squad who are, in my opinion, better rounded players than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Like, I really appreciate what he can do defensively, but he does still look pretty skittish over the halfway line. And I think it would be a good idea for Man United to recruit some alternative to him this summer. Not necessarily to replace him, but just to offer something a bit different. And you saw what Alex Telles did when he arrived at Man United, improved Luke Shaw no end. So, yeah, I think Aaron Wan-Bissaka is probably the unlucky fullback to miss out, but I don't think it was a shock.
Yeah, I agree. I think with Aaron Wan-Bissaka, they've said that he had a good season at United. And I agree, I think he's had a good season. But like Doogie said, I think his flaws, even though he's had a good season, you can still see the areas that he can improve. And I just think the right-backs that Southgate has picked have just got more strengths to them. And they can also play in multiple positions. And I know Southgate's been going on about how versatile, like, majority of his team is. Majority of them can play in one or two positions quite well. So I think Wan-Bissaka will be in that conversation maybe in the future. But there are a lot of right-backs. And even the person that he's going to... take out of the team when he picks the 26, I think there's going to be a lot of chat about that. So I think Wan-Bissaka should be all right with that decision, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just so tough to be an English right back at the moment. The only consolidarity thought I can think of is that Trippi is 30 years old now. Walker's getting on as well. There may be a window of opportunity in a few years' time, but it just... highly competitive position. We just need to hope that we don't lose some of these players to perhaps other nations that are looking at them. I completely agree. Wan-Bissaka, I think his time will come. People forget we've got the World Cup in just a year's time as well, so there's plenty of opportunities for these players to sort of earn their place back in the England side. But if we look at the centre-backs, which have been included in the provisional squad, you've got Connor Cody, Ben Godfrey, a big favourite of Joe Tomlinson there. Harry Maguire has been included. Tyrone Mings as well, John Stones, and then I suppose the big surprise addition being Ben White of Brighton. And really, this is my first big contentious point. I don't understand personally what Fikayo Tomori hasn't done to justify being part of this team. What a magnificent season he's having, second half of the campaign he's had over at AC Milan, who look almost certain to buy him out now. Doogie, I think I saw on Twitter you potentially agree with me on this one. It just seems really bizarre that they've decided not to at least include him in this provisional squad.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of chat about Bamford afterwards, etc. But I thought this was the most contentious call, to be honest. But I wasn't necessarily that surprised by it. I mean, Southgate didn't call up Smalling at all during his first season at Roma when he was playing so well, when he was nicknamed Smaldini there. I just don't know whether he's got, you know, the time or the infrastructure to scout necessarily Italian football well enough, which I think is a real shame. Because if he had, I just don't see why Tomori wouldn't be in there. At least as that fifth or sixth choice instead of potentially Ben White. I know Ben White can play on the right of a back three, which Southgate will probably appreciate quite a lot. He's looked excellent for Brighton this year, but I just think Tomori has gone to AC Milan, gone to a new country where he doesn't necessarily... No, I don't think he speaks the language. And displace Alessio Romagnoli, their captain there, or Simon Kjær, and just become the bedrock of a defence that eventually finished second in Serie A. So I don't know what more Tomori could have done potentially, but I do see why Southgate has gone for White and Godfrey in particular, given that they can play a multitude of positions, which is something that Southgate has said on you know many, many times that he really values in a squad. So I feel really sorry for Tomori. But at the same time, I think he's only got one England cap, maybe two. So when he wasn't called up in March, the same with Ezri Konsa, it looked unlikely that he was going to be called up this time. Maybe it's just a tournament too soon for him, but I'd love to see him go to the World Cup in about 16 months' time, so it's really not very long at all.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, just run some like numbers. Tomori's been putting in 2.7 tackles and interceptions, winning 1.8 aerials, really strong across that. He hits in about 13 pressures per game as well. And I think AC Milan have kept six straight clean sheets with him in that defence. He's been sort of the bedrock that's helped them get into those Champions League spots there. So judging by Southgate's kind of commitment to playing people on form, it's surprising to see that. I don't think Ben Godfrey and Everton have had a particularly enlightened end to the season there. I mean, Sam, do some of the things that Southgate says puzzle you, or do you have like complete commitment in everything he says? Because some of his interviews I just find quite baffling from time to time.
No, the only thing that I really don't get, and I do like Southgate, but when he talks about players playing it in multiple positions and the fact that they're so flexible, I do get it. Like, having a few players that can do that is always great for a squad. But at the same time, surely you would want a centre-back that is just solid, is a solid centre-back, would be a good option if one of your main centre-backs get injured and has had a good season. Like, I don't understand how he can't get into the squad over the likes of Cody and Godfrey. Godfrey, who went with the under-21 squad with at the Euros and under-21 Euros, yeah, and he didn't do well there. And I know that was basically blamed on Buffroy's selection and the way they were playing, but at the same time, he didn't do well there. And It's interesting because I know you're saying that Tomori's only had one cap for England, but Conor Cody's only had four. So I don't understand how that can be such a big difference for you to keep him in the squad. I do understand about team chemistry and things like that, but I don't know what more he can do. Like Doogie said, the World Cup is around the corner as well, so he can be looking forward to that. But if you're looking for a preliminary squad, a 33-man squad, and you're saying that you want certain players in and around the team to, you know, keep the competition there while certain players are playing in the European finals and some players are injured, I think Tomori would be great at that. He seems like he's a good trainer. He's had a good season. And if you can't get into the squad after a season like that, he's probably thinking to himself, what can I do to get into the squad? Or is he going to shout the Super Eagles and say, I made a mistake and I might have to sport the green, white, green?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, what?
He's also eligible for Canada as well, I think.
And Canada, yeah.
Yeah, that is true. I think they've been, I think he maybe played youth football for them over there. But what's, for you guys, are you a back five for England or are you a back four? Obviously, we'll get on a bit later to our, maybe trying to pick our team, but I mean, do you see Southgate going defender heavy with his selection? We've already kind of seen that anyway in the provisional squad. Do you think he's going to go for that back five, or do you think he's going to sort of put faith in our attacking options and go to a back four?
I mean, I think we're all praying for the latter, to be honest. But I think so much of it hinges on whether Maguire is fit. If Maguire is fit, then I think they'll play four at the back with him and Stones. Probably Trent, and if he goes, hopefully, and Shaw as our back four. But if Maguire isn't fit, I can see Southgate thinking, you know, we need to shore up at the back here, I'll put three in. And then I think Connor Cody comes into the equation because he plays in a back three so regularly as well. Maybe they'll put Kyle Walker at the right centre-back once again, have Stones in the middle, and maybe Tyrone Mings on the left-hand side as well. So I'm praying that Maguire is fit, because I do think that hinges on whether we see the likes of Foden, Grealish, Sancho from the start, etc., Mount maybe as well. All these fantastic attacking players that are coming into this tournament in great form, I don't think are going to get a look in, or at least start from the outset, from that first game, unless we're playing with Maguire at the back. So a lot of it hinges on that.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think Michael Keane as well, I think he's maybe really a bit unlucky to not even be included in this provisional squad as well. Part of the England setup on and off over the past few years too, so unfortunate for him there. If we have a look at the midfielders then, we've got James Ward-Prowse, he's made the cut. Mason Mount, Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips, despite this apparently dislocated elbow or shoulder, he's been included. Jordan Henderson as well, Jude Bellingham, and then Jesse Lingard has snuck in too. Sam, I guess the big names that we're missing here, James Maddison and Harry Winks and, well, Dele Alli potentially. What do you make of the midfield choices? And are you surprised to see Maddison not included in that?
No, I'm not, you know. Like, I think the midfield area is probably the only group of players that I can fully accept why he's picked them. I think James Ward-Prowse is just a Southgate player, and he's also good. He plays well when he's played for England. Mason Mount has had a great season. Declan Rice. I think Maddison probably was in the conversation with the Grealishes, the Mounts and the Fodens. And if we're looking at them across the season, I think they've been more consistent than him. I think he'll be quite disheartened to not at least make the squad of 32. But at the same time, World Cup is around the corner. He's going to have to... I think that period where he was out of the squad for those allegations, I'm not even going to say what they were, I think that didn't help his case. So I think he's just going to go into next season and just keep his head down. And for me, I think he should take it personally. Like, I think he should see himself as a England national that should be in the squad all the time. But because there's so many players in and around him that play his position, like Grealish and Mount, that have been consistent, like they've given 7 out of 10s majority of the season. So for him, I think if he has a consistent season, I think the World Cup he will definitely be a shoo-in. But everyone else, I think Harry Winks, Dele Alli not had great seasons for Spurs. Jesse Lingard, his rejuvenation at West Ham has been inspiring, and also he's a player that Southgate probably wanted to put in from the beginning, but because of the fact that he wasn't playing at United and he just wasn't in any team, when he started banging at West Ham, he was like, cool, you're in the squad. And he's good for morale as well. Those type of players that I don't see him starting or being heavily involved, but at the same time, I think he's good to have around the squad.
I completely agree. But I mean, Doogie, what's your take on Lingard? Because, you know, if we're saying that Tomori, he's had a great 6 months, but you know, relatively speaking, for a centre back, not in the squad. Jesse Lingard, obviously, he's coming in wonders over at West Ham. Like, why do you think that Southgate's given him the edge in that regard? Is that a position that you think England desperately need? That sort of that Lingard character. Like, why do you think he's been given the benefit of the doubt with this England squad? Because if you roll back 12 months, the idea that Lingard would be in this England squad and we'd be even like contemplating Trent Alexander-Arnold, for example, not being in it, just seems a bit crazy. So, like, I mean, what do you make of it?
Well, I think Southgate has said that he not only values versatility, but he really values team members, people who are great for morale. And I think Jesse Lingard is universally liked by whoever he's come across in the football world. You see how, you know, seamlessly he's integrated into that West Ham dressing room. He's a great character to have around. He brings a lot of sort of lightness, a bit of fun. And he played very well for England at the 2018 World Cup and was one of the first debutants that Southgate gave minutes to when he first took over as well. So there's, you know, Lingard for Southgate has done very well. I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if he made the final cut, just because I feel like he's been playing sort of up front in a sort of free role where there's, you know, that so much strength and depth. And I don't see him being used in a 4-3-3 in midfield for England, because I think Southgate, knowing his character, he'll go with Rice, possibly Phillips or Henderson, Hopefully Bellingham in there as well, but it depends on the fitness of Henderson and I suppose how the camp goes. And then Mason Mount will start in midfield as well. I think he's a shoo-in. So Lingard's competing with Grealish, Sterling, Sancho, Rashford for those forward positions, which I just don't see him quite being at the level required to break into that starting 11. And you know, if he's just going to come as the 26th man of the squad, I'd just rather look ahead to the future and give that to a Greenwood or a Saka. So to be honest, I don't think Lingard's going to make the final cut, but I'm pleased for him that he got the call up, because his form towards the back end of the season, you know, winning a Goal of the Month award, scoring some brilliant goals, showing all the tricks, flicks, etc. You know, he deserved a call up to an extended squad.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, just on Dele Alli. So I did Euro Transfer Talk this week. And I was reading that apparently Tottenham still want to let him go. Apparently, sort of his appearances in the back end of the season have been all about trying to get him sort of promoted on the market, as it were. Do you think that Dele needs to leave now? Because I can't see him working his way back into this England squad for a long time in the current sort of state that he's in. And, you know, he had one assist in the last five matches, which he's appeared in two. So it wasn't sort of the most groundbreaking of appearances that he did put in. It looks like Tanguy and Ndombele is probably going to be their favourite there. Do you think Dele, for the sake of his international career, more even so than his club career, probably should move on this summer? Or do you think that next year is his redemption shot at Tottenham?
I think it depends on the manager that comes in at Spurs. Mm. If they see what managers like Pochettino, even Ferguson, he spoke about how he thought that Dele Alli was going to really kick on. And I think a lot of people that watch Dele Alli could see what he could offer. But this season, I just don't think it's worked out. Like you said, Ndombele had a great season and he really struggled to get back into the squad. And when he was playing, you could kind of see that lack of confidence. But when he has got the confidence, he's probably one of the best attacking midfielders in the league. So I think it really depends on the manager that comes in. And if the manager comes in doesn't favour him, I think he should just leave and try and find form elsewhere. I've seen links with him. Obviously, Pochettino would want him at PSG. I think that would be great for him. I think it would be good for him to go to another league, go to a manager that trusts him, that believes in his talent and that believes that he can replicate that season when he was just banging goals, getting assists. And he's definitely the type of player you think should be a shoo-in. Like, when he was in the England squads before, you never thought that we would come to a point where he wouldn't even be selected for a preliminary squad. So I think he's definitely regressed, and to kick on and be in contention for the World Cup, he might have to leave, to be honest.
Yeah, you can thank Mourinho for that.
Yeah, I completely agree. Well, if we look at some of the players that have had good seasons and yet have missed the cut, I think maybe in the striker department more so than anywhere, Callum Wilson pretty much sort of kept Newcastle going at most points there, didn't he? 12 goals, 5 assists. Danny Ings as well, maybe could feel a bit unlucky. 12 goals and 4 assists. It probably doesn't help Southampton. I was thinking, if they're trying to convince him to stick around, if he's missing out on the England squad, there might be a bit difficult for them. You know, it's never one of their sort of bonuses for being at the club. And then I guess the big name really is Patrick Bamford, who's also missed out as well. Amazing season back in the Premier League with Leeds United. 17 goals, 7 assists. I'll admit, I wrote the Leeds when they got promoted, how Bielsa transformed Leeds. I did that looking ahead and I said the striker department is one of the areas they're going to have to improve on. But I mean, how wrong were we all? Patrick Bamford, what a player. I mean, Doogie, out of those names, Who do you think should feel the most aggrieved for not even being given sort of an inclusion within this squad?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be Bamford. I think Ings has missed so many games with injury, etc. I think Southampton are one of the worst teams in 2021 this calendar year. So I'm not overly surprised by Ings, but I think Bamford's been awesome. I think, you know, the way he works for that team, you saw the sprints and the total and sprint distance that Leeds put out. It's by far and away the best in the Premier League. He completely leads that press. He's shown glimpses of real quality as well. I remember that hat-trick against, I think it was Aston Villa earlier in the season, which included one of the, you know, an amazing goal with his left foot. He has missed some quite clear chances at times, as all great strikers do, but I think he's really unfortunate, to be totally honest. I think it was a straight shootout between him and Ollie Watkins. Watkins is a slightly different player. Maybe he's got a bit more versatility, having, you know, grown up on the left wing at Brentford when Neil Maupay and Saïd Benrahma were still there as well. You know, Ollie Watkins works exceptionally well as well, runs the channels really well, and has got a pretty good goal return, considering that Jack Grealish, their main creator, you know, missed the majority of the back end of this season. So I think it was a straight shootout between Bamford and Watkins. Southgate went with Watkins, who he's already, you know, gave his debut to, who's already scored for England as well, over Bamford, who maybe he's not just looking at this season and over the last two or three. And Bamford, unfortunately for him, does have a reputation for missing massive chances. Mm. Watkins, two great seasons at Brentford Watkins before that. I think Watkins he was Championship Player of the Year as well. Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a toss-up. I do feel really sorry for Bamford, but I'm not overly surprised given that he wasn't included in March.
Yeah. I think that I really like Bamford. And when I didn't see him in the squad, I wasn't shocked because, like you said, he didn't give him a call-up in March, and that can kind of give you a feel of who he's going to try and have in the squad for the Euros. But at the same time, even from being in the conversation, you saw the way he dealt with it when he was speaking in an interview, saying that he's just happy to be in the conversation. And from then, I feel like he kicked on in a sense where he's the type of player that just doesn't stop working. And you need that type of striker. Obviously, Watkins is also that type of striker as well. But at the same time, Bamford has a better goal return. For me, he offers more with the way that he presses. Like, when you watch Bamford, I know we talk about the way Watkins plays and that, but Bamford, I feel like his engine is just non-stop. And it's not like when the ball comes to him, he kind of loses himself. You've seen in situations where he's just been chasing the ball, then he eventually gets the ball and he slots in one of his Leeds players, and he's like, he's got that coolness to him as well. I don't know what Bielsa's done to him, but it's really worked out for him. And I understand the fact that he hasn't got a call up until this point, but if you're seeing a player like that doing so well up until the final day of the season, I think there's always going to be that forward player that you just kind of throw in to the mix and say, you know what, you've been playing so well this season, you deserve a call up to this competition. And I think Bamford should have been that player.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess really we can roll into sort of trying to boil down this squad into the 26 players then, because one of the players that's been chosen over him, Mason Greenwood, I did a bit of an annoying bet with Joe Tomlinson this year. I bet that Ansu Fati was going to outscore him, and it looked very comfortable that was going to happen. And then he went and got two back-to-back like knee injuries. Oh, it's absolutely crushed me. I've had to pay out a lot of money in debts to my Football Daily friends this week. But it's not been a good year. But yeah, Mason Greenwood, to be fair to him, he's really turned it on, hasn't he? 7 goals and 2 assists. He does look like an incredible finisher when he's in the mood. Left foot, right foot, you hear about him out of the academy, just how amazing he was at youth level for United. Dougie, I mean, for me, 26-man squad is an interesting thing. We've seen Luis Enrique of the Spanish squad, he only takes 24 players because there is the assumption that you don't need to take 26 players. If people are just going to be there just to sit on the bench, and we have to respect the fact that a lot of these players have families, a lot of these players, it's a very interesting dynamic to work with the chemistry of all these lots. So there's not a necessity to take 26, but if you had to get rid of a striker, who would it be? And would it not be worth taking someone like Greenwood, who is a bit younger, who might benefit from the youthful experience?
Oh, definitely. Like, his first major tournament with England. You know, it would be the same for Ollie Watkins, obviously. But if it comes down to it, you'd probably want someone who is going to really cherish this experience and it's going to make a massive difference to their development. I totally agree. I feel like 26 is a lot. I mean, unless there's a COVID outbreak in the England camp, I mean, only ever 20 players pretty much ever really feature. And most of the last two of that, so from 18 really till 20, they're only, you know, the occasional appearance off the bench. So there's going to be a lot of players sitting around in a COVID bubble in a hotel for 4 weeks trying to keep entertained. And we already hear for years how, you know, it's difficult to keep players entertained, but especially at the England hotel where it's all so intense. You know, there's fans waiting outside at every moment. They're going to have hopefully the home games in the latter stages of the tournament, you know, at Wembley, the euphoria around it. There's going to be so much press intrusion. So do you really want 6 players sitting around? So I can see why Luis Enrique has gone with the 24-man squad. But to answer your question about who drops out of the attackers, I think he's only going to take one of Saka, Greenwood and Watkins. To be honest, because I can't really see. I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin's definitely going to go.
I agree.
As a plan B, I think Foden and Grealish have to go. Kane's obviously going to go. Rashford's going to go. Sancho and Sterling, and then I can only see one of Greenwood, Saka, and Watkins. And to be honest, with the depth we've got at left back, I don't feel like we need Saka's versatility there. I feel like he's such a great player. He's had a phenomenal season. But if I want to get a goal late on in a game, I turn to Mason Greenwood over Saka every time. So yeah, I'm taking Greenwood.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, like, I agree with you saying that he's only going to take one of them. And I think even though Saka's versatile and Southgate has said that he loves him, he's got so much high praises to say about him. But I think if you've got 10 minutes left in the game, Kane is literally going to, if his ankle permits, he's playing every minute of every game minute. But
yeah.
If that moment does come where everyone winces, like, oh, Kane's gone down in the 80th minute, we need a striker to come on, so we need a goal, Greenwood would 100% be that player to come on. I don't think Watkins will be that player to come on. I don't think Watkins and Saka will be going in the 26-man squad. I said that both of them will be in the 33, but I don't think that we'll see them at the Euros. But Greenwood, even though he's still got a lot to learn in terms of playing that position, because he's, like we've seen this season, he's played out wide a lot of the times. But even when he plays out wide, you can see that he's just a stone cold finisher. The guy just knows how to score goals in training, everything. And for Ole and other players around the United squad to say that he is the best finisher, him going to England camps and them saying the same thing and saying Harry Kane is probably the only better finisher in that camp, I think Greenwood will be there.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. For me, take Greenwood. I think Watkins, obviously a great player, but if you've got Sancho, Sterling, Foden and Rashford, these kind of four guys on the wing attack positions, then yeah, I think why not take Greenwood over Watkins and Saka? So I agree with that one. All right, if we roll back into the midfield options there, Doogie, who are you giving the chop to out of these players?
Yeah, for the reasons I listed earlier, I'm giving Jesse Lingard the chop, I'm afraid. I just feel like he's not going to get a starting spot in that midfield. I don't think he's good enough to start up front for England. He's had a great campaign, but I'm not taking, or a great second half of the campaign, but I'm not taking Jesse Lingard.
Sam?
I think it depends on if Henderson's good to go for this tournament. If he is, then I would not take Ward-Prowse. I think we've got enough well-rounded midfielders. We've seen Mason Mount dropping deep for Chelsea this season. Declan Rice is a good DM. Calvin Phillips. And I just think Lingard, I don't know, actually. Doogie's made a few good points about Lingard and the way we might play this competition. If we do play it a three at the back, I don't think Lingard should be in that team. But if we do play a four and we were able to have maybe an extra midfielder roaming and doing what Lingard does best, and I think he picks up positions very well. I think he's probably one of the best midfielders in the squad to do that. I'd say he should stay and Ward-Prowse goes. But it depends on how we play, man.
Mm, yeah. No, I can't believe it, but yeah, I want to take Jesse Lingard over Ward-Prowse. You get the feeling, you look at it, Mason Mount and Declan Rice just look like they're going to play every minute of this tournament too, don't they? Declan Rice in that pivot position and Mason Mount just buzzing around. And then you see some mild injury concerns to Jordan Henderson and Calvin Phillips. I think those two are the staples. And you're right there. I mean, although obviously you don't want to overlook Mason Mount's creative abilities because they are phenomenal, actually. But if you want something late on in the game to maybe drive forward, then I think Jesse Lingard could be the man to come on. And I certainly value that over Ward-Prowse. Fair play to James Ward-Prowse. He's had an excellent campaign for Southampton. 8 goals, 7 assists. Some of his free kicks have been truly ridiculous this term, haven't they? But yeah, for me, drop James Ward-Prowse. I feel sad saying it, but yeah, probably be the one to go. All right, well, I want to save the best to last, which is probably the right back, the full-back slots. This is where I'm going to crush Sam. But if we look at the centre-backs, Sam, who do you think isn't going to be making... I was going to say playing, but it'd probably be a coach to Wembley. Who do you think is not going on that journey?
Godfrey and Cody. I don't think that they've done enough this season to be there, to be honest. I don't see a team with Godfrey and Cody in it, to be honest, because Cody hasn't had the greatest of season with Wolves. Godfrey's he's been all right. He's had good patches for Everton, but at the same time, I think the other centre backs that are there are just better. And it might have been tighter if Tomori and Konsa were in the conversation because they've had such good seasons. But I think this one's a bit easy. I think this one's easier than the other positions, to be honest.
So you would take Ben White over Connor Cody?
Yes.
Ooh, interesting.
I'm not really on the same vibe as Southgate in terms of versatility in that. Yeah, but Ben White is a versatile defender who can play left back. He can play centre back as well. So I think that would be one of the reasons to play him. To put him in the squad. I don't think he would get minutes. Like, there's certain players that I'm keeping that probably won't get minutes, but would be good to be in and around the squad if, let's say, there's an injury to a centre-back or to a left-back, or worst-case scenario, let's say Chilwell and Shaw both get injured. Like, you know what I mean? Then Ben White can be in that conversation as well.
That's an interesting... You know, I just think if Harry Maguire's got injury problems, then we need another kind of leader figure in the back line, and Connor Cody.
But Cody's not good enough, though, in my opinion. I don't think Cody's that type of, like, he had a good season when he originally got into the England squad, yeah. But since then, I don't think he's kicked on to that extent. I don't watch Wolves week in, week out, but when I do watch them and I've watched their games, they're not one. They've not been great. So fair enough. It might not just be down to him, but he's not really stood out for me. So, yeah, I wouldn't put him in that team.
Doogie, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm trying to work it out. So it's a 33-man squad. I need to drop 7 players. I've already dropped Saka, Watkins, Lingard, and I'm going to drop a keeper and a right back. So I need to drop 2 centre backs, and yep. I'm probably going to drop Ben White and Ben Godfrey, to be honest. I think it's been great for them to get this call up, but I'm not sure. I think if we go with the 3 at the back system, Connor Cody has played that for the last couple of years, although part of the problems at Wolves this year is that they've been interchanging between a 5 and a 4. I think his range of passing's really good as well. And Southgate has come out publicly and just said he loves his leadership as well. So I can just see Connor Cody making it. And I think Tyrone Mings, the fact he can play, he's left-footed, he can play on the left-hand side as well, he's definitely going to go. And this might just be a tournament too soon for Ben White and Ben Godfrey. So, yeah, I think it's quite uncontroversial. I just don't think Godfrey and White are going to go, and we're going to go with Stones, Mings, Maguire and Cody.
That's definitely more likely to happen. But I just don't think Cody's good enough, to be honest.
Yeah. You know what? The funny thing about all these... The thing about England is, I think, like, the first 18 players almost pick themselves, don't they? It's just sort of arguing over...
arguing over the final inclusions, yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's so funny what you were saying, Doogie, about the atmosphere in the camp. Like, you hear the horror stories of what it was like in South Africa when they were sort of isolated in the hotel. Yeah. God forbid that happens again. But yeah, all right, let's move on to the...
They also had Capello not allowing them ketchup, which was just barbaric.
That is true. Oh, goodness. All right, the fullback positions. This is probably where it's going to be. Oh, just a quick word on the keepers, actually. It's between Aaron Ramsdale and Sam Johnston for the third place, isn't it?
Drop Ramsdale.
He cannot be there in it. He just can't.
Yeah, I agree.
Although he did pick up towards the end of the season, I will say that. He was terrible before sort of January time. Did get a bit better, but he's not going.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Well, good luck to whoever of those players managed to go. All right, but the main big talking point is, of course, the right-back position. Southgate being cryptic and saying he doesn't see 4 right-backs, he sees 4 players who can play everywhere. it's quite David Brent sometimes.
He comes with such a poetic vibe sometimes. He just says things and I'm like, what? Like, you know what I mean? It's just I hear him, though, because, to be fair, the right backs that are in the squad now, they're very good in quite a few different positions, in it. But at the same time, they are right backs, in it.
Like, yeah. Let's not beat around the bush here. If Trent Alexander-Arnold will be going, if he goes, he's playing right back. He's not playing centre mid. He's not. We're not doing that exactly. At a major tournament against some of the toughest opposition. And actually, people seem to forget that England have a pretty difficult pathway through. I think there's a big possibility of playing someone out of the French, Germany, Portugal group in the sort of early on in the tournament. So we'll probably need to be at our very best throughout the whole process. For me, I'm taking Kieran Trippier. I just think he's done everything that he needs to deserve to be part of that team. And for me, it's Reece James that misses out. Personally, I just find it amazing that Trent Alexander-Arnold has been sort of written off in the manner that he has. Kyle Walker, I think it's generally accepted, will probably be the starting player there. Also plays in that kind of, if he does play a back five, we've seen Southgate play him in sort of a three-man defence, which I personally don't approve. Think is the best idea in the world. But he's often done that sort of accommodate for the lack of pace, as it were, for Harry Maguire. But yeah, for me, I just think Kieran Trippier goes. I think he's done everything right this season. Go on then, Sam. Who would you rather see go to the Euros instead?
I just honestly think that you're so disrespectful about Reece James. Honestly, because Reece James is one of the most versatile right backs in the squad right now. We've seen him play right centre back this season, right wing back. We've seen him drop into DM when he's had to. We've seen him play the traditional right back, and he does every position very well. And he's still so young. Like, if you're talking about experience and things like that, fair enough. Trippier, he's got the experience. But if you have players like Walker in the squad, you don't necessarily need two experienced right backs in the squad. You don't actually need that. Realistically, for me, going forward, James offers a lot more than Trippier. Defensively, I can just see him. I just think James is better than Trippier right now, innit? That's just my opinion.
I mean, to what extent do you think that the success of Chelsea's defence this year was the reintroduction of Cesar Azpilicueta and Antonio Rudiger into that back line? Because James was a sort of feature of that the whole way through. You say he was better going forward. One goal, two assists. Trippier got six assists and had to miss 10 games due to the FA ban. Is James really like the key there? I saw them on Sunday Vibes. He was included in the under-21s team this season. I'm not doubting that. I think he's a brilliant player. But, I mean, to what extent do you think you're disrespecting Kieran Trippier in terms of whether or not he deserves to be here?
But that's the thing. Okay, right back at you. I'm not disrespecting Trippier. I think he's a baller. But my main thing here is about, and to keep on going about this versatile thing, yeah, but James is very versatile. And if Southgate wants to, he doesn't really know what he's trying to play. And he's kind of shown that he's still unsure with the fact that he's got the 33-man squad, he's waiting for injuries to come in. That really determines how we're going to play this competition. And realistically, if you're looking to the right-back position or that right area, someone that can play in multiple positions very well, and he's proved that this season, is Reece James. Trippier, I haven't watched too much of him. When I've watched him, he's a quality right-back, but I've not seen him right-wing-back. I've not seen him drop in right-centre-back. So I think for me, James has shown that he can be consistent. He can be trusted in multiple positions. He's strong. He's got a good head on him. He's not too loud. Very humble guy. Like, good guy to have around the team. I think all of that should mean that he should be in the squad, innit? And I'm not really hearing that Trent shouldn't be in the squad. So I'm not even going to mention that. But if the rumours are true and Trent's not in the squad, then I think that's just not good enough, to be honest.
All right, Doogie, go on then. Weigh in on your
Doogie.
Opinion.
Be firstly, smart with your decision.
Firstly, I just really enjoyed that. To be honest, I was just sitting here with my imaginary popcorn, just listening to you two.
I'm not finished.
Team Trippier versus Team James. I think the only dead cert out of these four, which I think is baffling as well. I think Trent should be a dead cert, but the only dead cert for me is Walker. I think Walker will 100% go. I would 100% take Trent as well, but I thought it was bizarre to drop him in March unless you were seriously considering not taking him to the Euros. Now, Trent had a really good end to the season in the Premier League, but he did have a couple of shaky games defensively, particularly against Real Madrid in that leg away from home when Vinicius Junior sort of tore him apart on quite a few occasions. So there is some logic to not taking Trent if you're looking for it. I would take him 100%. So I'm taking Trent and I'm taking Walker.
All right, well, who's the next player you're taking, the dude?
Between the three, It's really difficult because I think Trippier has played in a back five for Atletico when they've shifted this year. He's been, I think, probably their third best player after Marcus Llorente and Luis Suarez in a title-winning side. Mm-hmm. Their form completely dropped off when he was banned for that betting ban, really recovered when he was back. Reece James, numbers-wise, if you're looking at pure stats, probably hasn't been as impressive as Kieran Trippier. I mean, he's got a third of the assists, played less minutes as well, less tackles and interceptions. But I think for the future of England and what Reece James will bring to England over the next few years, I'm taking Reece James.
Love it.
Because I just don't think we need Kieran Trippier's dead ball abilities if you're also taking Mason Mount in the squad. Phil Foden can take corners and free kicks as well.
James can take corners as well.
Jordan Henderson can take dead balls. Trent will obviously be on dead balls if he's starting as well. So I think Trippier's key selling point is his dead ball ability. I don't think he's as good a crosser as Reece James in open play, personally. So I'm taking Reece James. But it is incredibly tight, and it's a problem that I don't envy Gareth Southgate having to sort out.
In picking a 33 man squad prelim, like, obviously I get it, like there's some injuries and you want to be sure about the players that are coming back, and you want to wait until certain players recover, but at the same time you've made the job harder for yourself. Like, I really rate the way Enrique went about how he picked the Spain squad. He said Real Madrid weren't good enough this season. Obviously there's going to be certain critics and saying that you're just mad for not putting Ramos in the squad, but he just stuck with his guns and said this is the squad, that's it. Like, with Southgate now, he's left himself so many questions to be answered why he's picked this squad, and then when he picks the 26, why he's dropped some of those players. And it's just like, bro, if players come back and they're injured, and some people come back from their results and they're not able to play, call someone up.
But like, don't you think it was the only thing he could do given the situation? And, you know, picking an England squad for a major tournament, everyone's always going to disagree with it. It was always going to be contentious whenever he did it. So yeah, giving himself more leeway with players coming back from injury and two games still to play. What happens if Mason Mount, I don't know, John Stones, both of them go down in the Champions League final? Maybe they both do their cruciates. I mean, fingers crossed, hopefully that doesn't happen. Touch wood. I just think it was sensible from Southgate, and the only thing he could do, given the injury concerns as well already existing in the squad, let alone any they could pick up over the next week.
I hear you, but I just think that he's just given himself such a task with the media, why certain players weren't in this squad, why certain players won't be in the next squad, and it's just an indecisiveness that I just don't want to see in around the England squad. I genuinely think that we've got probably top three squads going to the Euros, yeah? And he should just be like, you know what? This is my 26. I'm picking these men, injured or not. Get the results back. If they come back negative and they're not able to play, these men are being called up. Like, have that. There's normally a group of players that are like, that are basically in that place where if someone gets injured that they can pick from. What's it called again? Am I just chatting crap?
Like the reserve list, effectively.
Yeah, like the reserve list. Yeah, like you could do that. You can do that as well. Like,
but mentally, if I was one of the players, I'd rather be in the initial squad and see what the injury issues is, and then you stay in the squad rather than being an injury replacement all Euros, and you know that you are the 26th player in that squad. I think just mentally wise, I'd rather just know I'm in from the get-go.
I think that's worse though. Like, you're putting my hopes up and making me feel like I might be in this squad, having me wear the England training kit, come into training with the man them, all of us there, and then they just say one day you're just not in the group chat anymore. And then Southgate messages you and says, "Ah, oh, sorry, bro. Like, it's not
you have
this
to
time.
Leave
that
the chat.
That will hurt more. Like, that will hurt more for me, innit?
To but be I fair, hear, I see where you're coming from, but I think the players that are going to be dropped are pretty much the inexperienced ones. I mean, the names we've mentioned are like Ramsdale. He hasn't been capped. Godfrey, no cap. White, etc. Saka, Greenwood, Watkins. Very few caps. Like,
that's the only one that's
going to be contentious is this fourth right back. Even though Reece James is not that experienced at England level, like, it will still be a shock if he doesn't go. It will be a shock if Kieran Trippier doesn't go. And it will be an absolute storm on Twitter if Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't go.
Yeah,
he really needs to think about that decision, because that decision there is very important, and it shouldn't even be that important. But for a player like Trent, and the fact that there's such uproar, if I'm a manager and I'm looking at Trent, fair enough, he hasn't had a good first half of the season, yeah. But you cannot deny the ability the man has on the ball. And you need that in your squad. Like, you need that. You can't risk not having that. And if he doesn't pick him, then I might have to join the bandwagon of a certain hashtag. But I'm not going to say it yet because I don't want to be negative.
You've already been on it.
All right. Okay. Well, listen. We'll agree to disagree in this one, Sam. You say there's a lot of "I'm hearing you," but you're not listening to me. What I'm saying about Kieran Trippier, I think he has to.
Doogie agrees with me. So it's not just me. It's not just me.
You came
into this thinking that, oh yeah, I'm gonna get Sam. These time Doogie's in my corner. So unlucky, Henry. You lose.
I must have said something to him on Continental Club last week because I can't possibly see what's possessed him to go against me this time around. But anyway, it's fine.
There wasn't enough bribery.
Listen, Kyle Walker's probably gonna be the starting right back. Anyway, I mean, let's just have a quick think about that. Our starting 11 there. What? Let's quickly go for a formation. In a dream world, would love to see a 4-3-3. I don't know if you two agree. All right, let's crack on with that then. Goalkeeper, interestingly, it's now boiled down to either Henderson or Pickford. So it's given Southgate one less big decision to make there. I think personally that Pickford now will probably be the starting keeper. I don't think at this point he'll go against that now. Do you both agree with that one?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think Pickford's necessarily been bad for England ever, when he's been in the squad. So I wouldn't see why Henderson would get the starting position.
Yeah, showed some good form towards the end of the year as well, Pickford. Henderson had a couple of mares, particularly against Liverpool as well. Now it'll be interesting to see who starts in the Europa League final. I think he'll probably go with De Gea. Henderson might not even be United's number one anymore. I think he'll definitely go for Pickford.
It's amazing. Just reading about some of the... apparently he's unbelievably confident, Dean Henderson. There's sort of really interesting articles coming out about his swagger, irrelevant of any club he's ever been to. But yeah, I agree. I think Pickford for this tournament. All right, right back. I think it'll probably be Kyle Walker.
I think it'll be Kyle Walker as well.
Starting there. With the centre-backs, I mean, we'll have to wait to see on Maguire, but I think it'll probably be Maguire and Stones at present if it was a 4-3-3. Any other suggestions there for that one?
I honestly think that if Maguire gets injured, I don't understand why Mings wouldn't be able to play. Or do you guys not rate Mings in a back four? Or do you not think he can do that for England?
I'm not totally sold either.
I think we just need a bit more cover. I think Maguire is the key to that defence, really.
Okay.
Agree there. Great player though, Tyrone Mings, and his rise in the last few seasons has been outstanding. Left back, that's a bit of an interesting one. I'm going to go for Luke Shaw.
Sure.
This scenario, I think that's probably
he's had
the best
season.
I think it'll work quite well if it was Stones and Walker and then Maguire and Shaw. That's quite a nice balance and understanding within that back line there.
Team chemistry,
exactly. And then all right, the midfield three. This is where it gets a bit fun. We've seen Tomlinson on Twitter banging the drum for Jude Bellingham to start. I think Declan Rice is almost a cert with Mason Mount at least next to him. So who would you have in that third midfield slot, Sam, for England?
Either Henderson or Bellingham. I agree with the Bellingham hype. I'm not gonna lie, he's a baller, and I think that he's not shy. He doesn't shy away from the big stage. We saw him against City in the Champions League. He's a worker, and he's got the ability to do well. So I think, if the injuries are correct and Phillips has got a slight injury and Henderson might not recover, he might be in the squad, but he might not be ready to start, let's say, the first game, then I think a midfield three of Bellingham, Rice and Mount makes a lot of sense.
Doogie, I mean, interesting. I've been looking at some of the comments on our coverage of Jude Bellingham, and a lot of the German fans have said he wasn't actually that great for the first half of the season. It's only the second half that he's come on strong. Do you think that's unfair, or do you think Jude Bellingham is the man for the midfield at the moment?
I think It might well be fair. I mean, I can't say that I watched every game of him pre-Christmas, but I think most people were pretty surprised as a 17-year-old that he was starting for Dortmund so early. I think most people predicted that he'd break into the team in the second half of the season, whereas I think he's played over 40 games for Dortmund, been their key player towards the end of their Champions League campaign as well, had that incredible game against Man City, and just doesn't seem overawed by any single occasion. So I'd back him to cope in the hotbed of a Euros tournament. I think I'd probably start Henderson if he's fully fit, for his leadership, for his quality, for his athleticism. But if he's not fully fit, I'd have absolutely no issue with putting Jude Bellingham in there. People are talking about Calvin Phillips as well. I think he'd be the perfect backup to Declan Rice in that holding role. But I think a midfield three of Mount, Rice and Bellingham, it's risky, but it's very, very exciting. And I think it's the way we should potentially go in this tournament.
Yeah, completely agree. Just one thing you said, there's a lot of exciting players in this England squad. And actually, at the whole Euros, there's so many youngsters coming through that could set this tournament alight. I've not looked forward to an international tournament like this for a long time, just for the depth of sort of quality everywhere, which is so good. And then, all right, strikers then. Harry Kane's a given.
Not necessarily. I'm joking. I'm starring Ollie Watkins.
We don't have time for this, Doogie. I'm exhausted. Harry Kane up top. Either side of him. Is Phil Foden going to start? Sam, is that your man? Do you think, or do you think Sterling?
The thing is, the front line is so tight. Like, I think that's probably going to be the hardest decision for Southgate in terms of his starting squad. But I wouldn't have a problem with him starting Sterling and Foden. Like, I think that could work. I think Sterling off the right, Foden off the left. Like, I think that would be exciting. But at the same time, if it's not working, just switch it up. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's one thing that I think the Southgate should not have an issue with. If you see in the first half of the game, it's not working, you started the front three, it's not clicking, get Grealish on. You know what I mean? Get Rashford on, get Sancho on. Like, we need to just see all of these men get the opportunity to ball out, because we know that they can in it. So yeah, I'm saying Kane, Sterling and Foden, but I wouldn't mind any of the other combinations, to be honest.
It's interesting, 6 months ago we'd have said Jack Grealish was a certain to be in
the
that
injury though, isn't it?
And then this injury just completely crunched him out. Doogie, what do you make of Grealish's chances in this England squad, and I guess who would you put in those sort of wider positions up front?
Yeah, I think it depends how he trains over the next month or so. He's obviously only had two or three games back prior to the end of the Premier League season, so I think
played
he probably
really
lost
well
his starting
Chelsea,
spot. Yeah, he did. He did play very well, to be fair. I would probably start, and this is probably quite controversial, but I'd start Phil Foden on the left, and I think I'd start Jadon Sancho on the right. I think he finished the season in phenomenal form for Borussia Dortmund, match-winning contributions in the DFB Pokal final. I think he, wrapped up with 19 league goal contributions, having started the season so slowly. Like, before, I think it was about mid-November, we were really quite worried about what was happening with Jadon Sancho. It looked like he'd just been a bit tired from back-to-back seasons. But you want to play, we've done this so many times in major tournaments, you play the players that are in the best form, form. You've got to go in form. And the two in-form wingers right now are Phil Foden and Jadon Sancho. Mm. And the depth coming off that bench with Sterling, Rashford and Grealish, I think is going to terrify any teams in the final 30 minutes. I'm totally with Sam. If it's not working by 55, you need to give these players 35 minutes to really wreak havoc on a tiring defence. And I cannot wait to see this front line in action. I think it could be absolutely box office.
Honestly.
Couldn't agree more. It is so exciting. I agree with you. Phil Foden, Jadon Sancho, the two players of the moment right now. But so much to look forward to. Anyway, I think that's it. I think we've pretty much covered everything. That is the definitive answers anyone will need for the England squad. Southgate, if you're listening, get your pen and paper out, because I think we've got it there.
And take Sam. Trent, if you're listening, take Trent, because I'm not having that at all, to be honest.
Yes, that is true. Sam, if our listeners have enjoyed this, what are you working on at Snapchat at the moment? What should they go and check out?
Yeah, just go over to Snapchat, subscribe. We put stories out there every day that you don't normally see on our YouTube content, and some of the stuff is actually quite funny to film as well. So yeah, man, go over there, let me know what you think as well, shout me on socials, whatever, and yeah, that's it.
Love it. Doogie, anything you've put your voice to recently that you've got great pride in?
Not that I've got great pride in, but what's been going out on Euro Football Daily this week? There's a talk about Eden Hazard going back to Chelsea. I think it's absolute rubbish, but go check that out. That dropped on Tuesday. And then on Monday, we talked about the fact Barcelona might get rid of Antoine Griezmann, which again, I think is probably absolute rubbish, but go check it out anyway.
Brilliant. Absolute rubbish. That's it for that's it for another episode of Extra Time Podcast. Whatever platform you're listening on, Spotify, YouTube, whatever, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you are liked and subscribed to our YouTube channel and keep supporting, and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.